Okay, welcome back. And updating you to the best of our ability here. And remember, we have to wait to try to weigh the stories from both sides in terms of what was hit, how bad the damage was, and both sides are going to be exaggerating, to put it mildly. That's just the way these things go. At 10:59 p.m., let's call it 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's three hours ago. Yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Ynet News is reporting that I'm 3 hours behind. It's 11 p.m. right now. I just have noticed that Channel 12, Reuters, and Ynet News, and other media in and outside of Israel are all reporting that the Israeli attack, wrong, the U.S.-Israeli attack upon Iran is now complete. 20 sites were targeted by Israel. End of release. We'll see. We have to wait and see what Iran says, what kind of visual imagery is released and published. We don't know. Will Iran respond? That's the big question. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that we'll never know about. We know that for sure. It's the way it always works. All right, with us this hour, former U.S. Marine, deployed to the Middle East at one point. He did a tour there. Is our colleague and commentator, Gary Holland, back with us now for this hour. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
It's an interesting night.
Yeah.
Let's say
yeah,
the least.
And
yeah.
The when I got word this morning, and this announcement just came at 11 p.m. Eastern, just now, 8 minutes ago, that the attack is the second wave of the attack. It was a two-part deal, is now over. When I got word this morning that at least 10 American Air Force military refueling tankers had flown across the Atlantic and landed in Israel or nearby friendly locations, you knew that the attack was on. The Americans are playing a key role. They made the attacks possible. Without those tankers refueling, Israeli jets, which are also American, they couldn't have. This is a joint U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran. I'll leave it right there. Done. All right. How does it look to you at this point? Do you expect Iran to respond?
Not sure yet. And I'll explain why. First of all, they also had to get air permission to go over countries in their air.
Right.
So they have to have permission through cross countries to, you know, violate their airspace. And so second thing, if you notice too, you notice what they did. They picked Friday afternoon or Friday evening on the East Coast, which would be Wall Street's closed. And you didn't have so you wouldn't have a meltdown on the already stock market at this point. That's about.
And they waited
to
for
collapse.
The stock market to close, the gold
and
exchange
the commodities
to close.
Market. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Of course they did. They didn't do that by accident. They waited for, which means, and it kind of, in my opinion, it seems to me they chose that because by Monday this will be all gone. I don't think this is going to go. That's why they even said, if you notice, they said only 20 sites, everything's done. It's becoming between Iran and Israel going back and forth. It's becoming more ceremonial than it is actually.
It looks
strategic.
Staged.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Perfectly said.
This is not strategic. Look, you know, tactical, which is short-term planning, right? And strategical,
right,
which is long-term. Strategically, just to do a couple of quick, you know, taps on the wrist, bomb some sites that Iran could care less about, for Netanyahu to keep the war machine going. Really, this is all, remember, this is all about keeping the Gaza machine going. So when you you know, lob a few bombs over in Iran into non-essential areas where Iran's not going to put up a stink about it. When you go into Lebanon and say you're getting rid of Hezbollah, and you're really not, and you do
it. We should point out, Gary, excuse me, we should point out that no reports from either side yet mention the Iranian nuclear facilities underground have been targeted or hit. So if those have been left alone, then all the more reason to underscore what you just said, that this was staged. It's geopolitical theater with military.
I'm assuming, you know, they, just like Iran, look what Iran did a few weeks ago. They old
October 1st.
Older missiles where they knew were never going to penetrate the Iron Dome. Just really weak, soft stuff. And they said, we're done now. We proved our point. And then now Israel does the same thing. These aren't strategic or tactical type strikes. They're just ceremonial.
Correct. But I must point out that those missiles were not all old, off-the-shelf inventory. There was some real excellent targeting victories achieved, including that airfield, which was a home base for an F-35 squadron, and most of those planes were said to be destroyed, as well as much of the base.
Well, that's fine for the military-industrial complex. So this,
you bet,
needs another contract order to fill for your usual suspects, but. You know, if you notice, see, because this was a lot worse than it was. Like, yeah, you're going to have, on both sides, they understand there's going to be, casualties, right? And them are expendables, right? It just wouldn't shock me, Jeff, if they notified Iran, hey, we're going to bomb you, but, you know, we're going to leave it at that. We're going to do our phase one and two. And do some ceremonial bombing, and maybe Iran might return.
It's kind of like giving Kamala Harris the questions in advance.
Exactly. either they notified or didn't notify, but my point is it was non-essential. And like you said, Israel losing a base with a few F-35s is nothing to them. This, you and I, they're slaves. They're golem. United States would just pump out some more for them free of charge, of course.
Sure.
And they'll save them. And they'll save the money, by the way, by just giving hurricane victims a crap sandwich, maybe $750 if you file about 50 pages full of forms. And then they can wait for 3 weeks and see if they are been approved or not. And then you'll be waiting in line for FEMA to help you out. Like, you might get some relief maybe in 5 to 10 years from now, if that. See, that's how they save the money. When it comes to, if you notice, by the way, Ukraine, Israel, and the war machine, and these aid packages, right? It's like, boom, you need billions? Send it to Ukraine. Israel needs more F-35s because they lost a couple from the Iran bombing. Oh, no problem. And how they and what do they do? Well, they just take it out on the American people.
We're the armory for Israel. We probably already replaced the F-35s. We just took one of our squadrons and sent over as many as they needed.
Yeah.
They get whatever they want. They always have since 1948. Nothing new.
Look, we've never, it's not like we haven't done it before. If you remember in Serbia, the American aircraft are sent over there just while they took off the markings, American markings, and remarked them NATO and called it good enough.
Right.
Without any approval, without any authority, nothing. Yeah. So if you had, like, say, again, if they temporarily, like, it's like renting a car when you get in a car accident, your car gets totaled, and you're waiting on the check from the insurance company to settle for the property damage. Meanwhile, you rent a car for a few weeks waiting for that, right? Well, it's the same with Israel. They lost F-35, so like rental cars, they gave them like a rent, whatever they lost, say 5 or 10.
We're the armory.
United States gave temporary loans.
America has, our military has been significantly disarmed, giving all these pieces of munitions to Ukraine and now Israel. We've really unloaded a lot of our very necessary military background. You're talking about foreground troops and so forth, but in the back, it's always munitions, weapon systems. We gave a lot of that up, and it's gone now. Gone. And it takes years to replace it.
And it's lots of it's floating out on the black market, going into going into the armories of so-called enemies of ours, right?
All true.
Look, if you look at the geopolitical situation on this planet, it's very it's designed to confuse. My opinion is it is still under one hand. I don't know if you've ever seen that art picture before. Actually, it might have been on your site. I've seen this too, where you have
you're talking about in the slideshow on the homepage, I think, right?
Yeah, well, on Slash Art, we're talking the Grim Reaper has his hand on the top of the planet and has Z for Zionism. And if you notice,
that's one of David D's. That's a David D's art piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put the Z in.
I thought there for a second. Yeah.
But yeah.
And exactly. So if it's designed to confuse everybody, the geopolitical situation of this planet for the last 100 years, even. But if you look at that piece of splash art, that is a good representation of what really is going on. Because if you look at the hand of the Grim Reaper, it controls the whole planet. So no matter what country says what, eventually it all leads back to the head of the pyramids.
It does.
World government pyramid scheme is Zionism. Yeah. It is. And so it seems like everything's so staged now that, you don't know what to believe anymore. Who's really mad at each other, or is it just to fund the economy of the world, fund the war
keeping,
machine, and
keeping
make more
people
money?
Happy, or preoccupied, or better yet, in a state of fear, is what the Romans did with bread and circuses. Yeah. Now the fear is playing a very big role. It's not just some kind of entertainment like bread and circuses. Feed them, entertain them. Now feed them, entertain them, and scare the hell out of them. That keeps them in line even more. That's the world stage for you.
Yep. You're 24/7. You're just, as a per human on this planet, it's chaos 24/7. It's you have the emotional roller coaster. You know, fear, like you said, happiness, consumerism, all them things. And
all the time, these poor people, Gary, all these people are being programmed nonstop, mind controlled by their phones.
Yep.
They're being that's reality to them. It's game over. The people are not going to break that. It's a terminal addiction. They can't give it up. They won't give it up. And if they go to anything, they'll go to the TV to watch the ball game, many of them. It's incredible how they've got this wired now.
Do you know one of the largest growing populations of smartphone users, TikTok, Gen Z type social media, 30-second video swiping and all that type of stuff, right? It's a very short attention span training. Your attention span to get shorter and shorter and shorter, which is why they have 10-second TikTok videos, YouTube shorts. It's just a quick video, on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one, right? People 55 and above are like the fastest growing market. It's a huge, growing, expanding market of just people and senior citizens who are...
So they're drugging out the senior citizens with eye candy through their smartphones. Okay. It works. They can stare at a soap opera for a half an hour, or they can look at TikTok and watch 40 videos in a half an hour and be entertained by one after the other, because their attention span has been rewired to such a short term. You're right. It's a good point.
Yep. No, look, think about this, Jeff. You see some people kind of
I didn't know they were going after
going
the older
on.
People now, but that makes sense. It's just they're just drugging them. Drugging them into oblivion.
You have all age demographics now. You have from the newest generation to Gen Y, Z, you know, millennial, Gen Alpha
is
baby
the youngest.
Boomers. And baby boomers now, and then silent whatever who's ever left what they called the silent generation before the baby boomers. All them generations. You go into any restaurant here in Las Vegas area, Jeff. I don't care what age they are. You go into a restaurant, it's always silent. You don't hear much talking. You don't hear laughter. And you remember when you used to go, when I was a kid, remember, and you know this yourself, Jeff, when you used to go into a restaurant, I don't care where it was. It could be fast food. It could be regular
mom and pop
style.
There was always the noise of people and life. That's right.
And happiness.
The
you
sound
heard people,
of people.
Of joy.
Yeah.
The sound
right.
of joy, and yes, exactly. Sound of community, sound of joy, people, prosperity, and a first world American civilization. You used to hear that. I don't care. And now, I challenge anybody go into any restaurant. All you hear is silence all the time. And why is that? You look around, and everybody is on their phone. Like you'll have a whole family, say a table of 10 of family members. Now, you think family members are, you know, this is a casino, so it could be maybe family members coming in the town, out of town family members. You know, people haven't seen each other for a while. And these families are getting together. No one's talking. Nobody's happy to see each other. They're all miserable looking on their face. And they're all just glued from the newborn to the great grandmother at that table. They're all glued to the hypnotic device. That people stare at.
It's TV. It comes from 1948 when television first became available. Now it's shrunk down and it's portable and it never leaves you. It's right in your hand. And that 4.5 hours a day is an average. A lot of people are 6 and 7 and worse. Look, you're right. The people in the restaurant tell the story. That's what we have been turned into. This is all by design. Nothing's just left to chance.
And
these people
and
have been
let me
programmed
tell you how,
to do that.
And this will give you people have to they you get an overview, right, or an understanding of how just how dangerous these self smartphones are. I mean, in one hand, they're a great tool. Don't get me wrong; I use it, so I don't want to sound like a hypocrite here. I use these, and I use it for different things. What I try not to do is I break my usage up all the time, so I'm not stuck by it, right? But I've seen, Jeff, at places, like say at a restaurant, for example, this just happened a few weeks ago. I see these people, there are 4 people at a table, all completely memorized by the phone. Uh-huh. Waitress comes up to bring their food to their table, and the waitress had to say, excuse me, 6 times, and then finally one of them snap out of it at the table, and they look up and didn't even realize she was there.
It's a vicious addiction.
What I mean by a hypnotic device, Jeff.
Correct.
I think it's more than just, you know, to distract, and that's the number one thing.
No, it's an addiction. Absolutely an addiction. And it's probably as bad or worse than heroin, as tobacco. This thing is not to be broken. Let me ask you this. Do you ever see a group of people in a restaurant, let's say 8 or 10 people, whatever, or even a family of 5, do you ever see a family where someone has said, all right, we're going to go out to dinner tonight, no cell phones in the restaurant, leave them in the car? Do you ever see that, where there are no phones? Somebody's made a command decision, we're not going to do this, we're going to talk. I wonder if some people must do that, but I can't imagine. I don't see it. I don't look, but think about it. No phones
Jeff,
at dinner.
It's
we're going out to eat.
To me, even people that I've known in my personal life who are really dead set against technology, said, I'll never use a phone. I knew a gentleman, an older guy, used to just carry a flip phone, right? And yeah. that's when he was satisfied. He kept it for a reason. Then all of a sudden, one day, one of his grandchildren, again, probably a Gen Z grandchild or a millennial grandchild, talked him into getting a smartphone. Now, this has been about 2 years ago. Today, the guy used to be really jolly and with the flip phone and all that. Now, like you every time you see him, it's facing the phone, and you're talking to the person. They're like, uh-huh. And then, like, a few minutes later, they'll snap at him and say, what were you saying? You know, that type of thing. This is what he does now. I mean, his life is the phone now, and which subconsciously probably he was afraid of, and which is why, rightfully so, he never did get it. You know, he said, I'm going to keep the flip phone, and I don't want to be part of that. And even that guy was. And that's the point. They know, the people, they, who put this technology out. First of all, as you know, Jeff, the ninth from television, old analog television, where they were putting, you know, subliminal messaging in the signals, and they're planting sub signals within the television signal.
Oh yeah,
that was for that time period. It was very high tech thing.
Imagine what they're doing now.
These smartphones, Jeff, compared to that is like it's like this, comparing the Stone Age to the space shuttle. It really is. It's like, you know, it's like the technology in these cell phones are just, it's mind blowing, literally mind blowing, if you think about it, because there's like a lot of people that are addicted, not only addicted, but like they are like, it's glued, it's like attached to the hip at this point. It's like a part of their body. Like if I remember, Jeff, years ago we had a program, and everyone should, you know, there's a little pitch, you know, people should join the archives and they can go back in time. There's just, like I said, I've said this before, the archives is a steal for what the price you pay a month. I mean, you're getting what, 30 plus years. I mean, of knowledge. I mean, 31 plus years of knowledge, and you can go at any period of time, and it's just the archive. Look, the little bit of money, everyone out there who hasn't signed up for the archives, I really, and Jeff didn't put me up to this, you should, for the little bit of money a month, it's so much well worth it to just try it out for a couple months, see what you think.
I
will tell you this. Anybody who signs up, in my opinion, they might say, oh, I'm going to try it for a month, see how it goes. They won't stop at that point, because just the information that's in there, in them archives, is just, it's amazing to me. It really is amazing how much just truth and information you can get out of your archives. It's just, like I said, there's no one out there. I don't care. You can name the programs out there, Jeff. No one. And I'm talking the controlled, you know, so-called alternative radio show that comes on late at night, and everyone knows who I'm talking about. even them. But your archives are even greater than theirs, because a lot of their stuff was all about silliness and just, you know,
but it's a different platform entirely.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But you, with the knowledge and just truth and information and the quality guests you've had over the years, I do, like I said, the little bit of money that you charge a month, it's so well.
Thank you.
If you were to go sign up for the archives, put your, you know, pay for that first month, you would literally, just in knowledge, increasing your knowledge and retaining memories that are gone, within the first couple hours, you got your money back, but you would made it. You would say, you know, this is worth it.
I get thank you. I've had some nice emails from people who they find just for them jewels and nuggets and treasures, you know, buried in years gone by. It's like walking through history. You rewind back to 1994, and you can walk through this whole nightmare. That's really about when it started, in the late 90s, around 2000.
Yeah.
It began to ramp up the great changes that were coming, and you can walk through the whole thing. There must be 25,000 hours of programming there. A lot of guests.
Look,
a lot of people.
Just go from when you were talking at the beginning, when around that time OKC was going down, Waco was going down.
Yeah.
When you had first started your program, and you had Linda Thompson, a personal hero of mine, and who the
she's a great,
they
great lady.
Were able to erase from this planet at the end. Whatever, and stuff like that. But from her, all these different time periods, from the Clinton years, the Clinton, you know, murder machine, the Clinton war machine, through the Bush insanity, to the Obama homosexual insanity of him, to, you know, Donald Trump, you know, not fulfilling any of his promises. And then
don't forget eight years of Barry Obama, for God's sakes. Yep. Yes. Unbelievable what we've been through.
And think about it, Jeff. Since Bill Clinton, his first term, straight up to the present, your archives covers all of them decades. Have you ever thought, Jeff, sometimes, and I know you're a very busy man, but did you ever step back and look from the outside in and look at just thinking about the archives and saying to yourself, like, you know, since the first term of the Clinton administration, all the way up to present, I have my archives covers all that history from the early mid 1990s straight through to, and you're keeping going. We're already into the mid 2020s.
And
your archives is like literally like I'm not like trying to toot your horn. I challenge anybody to go on the internet, go anywhere. Either in book form, print form, or on the internet. There's no a place where you can go, one place, sign in, pay a very low subscription fee, and have access to that much knowledge in one place. And it's very user-friendly. I've been an archive member for a very long time. It's been a very, very long time. Since the days that I was producing your program locally here in Las Vegas. So that is a very long time ago. The archives have built since then, and even back during, this was like early 2000s, you had a huge library at that point.
Yeah.
Another 20 years have passed, Jeff, and you've built on this library. It's just, I don't care. This is like, people really have to realize what you get in the archives. It's just great knowledge.
You're very kind. Nicest part of it is all the wonderful people that I got to know and spend time with, and the audience, too, got to know and spend time with people. Just wonderful people. Even go back as far as, Steve Allen, had Steve Allen on, Stan Freberg, people from the 50s and 60s that were just huge then, and I had them on. I've just had some wonderful times, and I honestly don't think much about it. I know it's a legacy. It's something that must always be protected because it's recording, literally, the reality of the great changes that this planet has been and is being put through. It's all there. It's there.
And I'm wondering if there's a way, again, we're talking about technology and how it's taken over the planet, which is AI too. But AI can be used as a tool. I wonder if there was a way for AI to do a search and just search through AI, how many
interesting idea.
Jeff Rentz had on his radio program since the beginning? How many different guests?
And it's close to 25,000.
Not even returning. Don't even count returning guests, right? Just guests, like different names that has been on the program over the years.
I really don't know, but there are a lot. And
think about that again, Jeff.
Yeah.
Could you go anywhere in the United States? Or around the world, as a matter of fact. And I didn't even talk about the government-controlled library system. And get that, have that, find a place in that library where you can get so much knowledge and recorded history from the mid-1990s straight up to the present. and just do that in one spot.
I can't imagine anything like it. It is unique. And my goal is to, we're 31 years now into our 31st. I'm heading for 40. We're going to make it to 40. I hope we're all going to make it to 40, but we'll be here as long as humanly possible. And that's part of the fun of this, just watching it happen and being able to know that this is really an independent platform. This program is not controlled. Nobody controls me. I don't play games. I'm not on the payroll from anyone. I'm not making a lot of money. I'm doing this because there's a higher calling on the planet than making money or being a green screen celebrity or a TikTok influencer. This is journalism. This is a great privilege and a great responsibility to try to present this as well as I can to allow people, all of you people, to make your decisions with more facts and data than you could have otherwise done. And it's up to you. I don't tell anyone how to think. I just want them to engage in the process, as I've said many times. So thank you for the kind words, Gary. I didn't expect that.
Well,
it is
think about that, Jeff. The amount of different guests you've had, that's how many, that's a each. And not only is it like if you total the amount of guests you've had overall from the beginning up to the present, that is also represents a different perspective.
Each guest also has a different, slightly
different perspective.
Slant. Yeah.
Yep. So you have you get like a subject and you get all angles. Like literally you can get all angles of what, like you've even had people guest on where you knew they were probably, you know, let's say connected to the machine. And
sure.
Them speak their information, but then you would have three other guests come on who would counteract that information. And it would be from their own unique perspective. That you can't get that again. I'm a big proponent of your archives. And to you're getting that many perspectives. Look, you're not left. Let's just put it this way: if you want a certain subject, and you listen to in the archives to different various programs covering that subject you're interested in, you're not going to leave out of it wondering and having questions a lot of times. All your questions will be answered. I mean, from different perspectives, from different guests. Like, and you would say, oh, I never would have thought of that. Or, you know, I was thinking that too, but not in that,
right?
Not in that sort of way. That right. type of thing is what I get out of these a lot of times. And, you know, it's I'm a heck of a lot more knowledgeable. I mean, I know people who homeschool their children, and I have talked them into using your archives to teach.
Oh, nice!
And their for their homeschooling. Look, are you? Let's put it this: anyone in I'm preaching to the choir, but we're talking. We're also getting what they call flybys, right? Who are coming in who are here for the first time, never heard of you before this, and they're just new listeners, right? I will say this. Are you going to trust history from the Zionist publishing industry that supplies your children with all the school materials with 99% of the
commercial mainstream media is out. You cannot trust them. Yeah. They'll lie to you. The history is all slanted. It's all corrupted and distorted and reconfigured to serve their agenda. And we all know what their agenda is, our regular listeners do. You know what I should do at some point? Maybe hook up an AI index for all the archives so people could type in a subject. And every program with that subject in it would pop up for them to consider listening to. Or even segments of it. But that's certainly doable. Maybe we can do that sometime.
So if you like put into, you know, Bush and, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, there'd be so many programs.
Or UFO abductees. Or did we go to the moon? I mean, it's all there. It's all there covered thoroughly.
Talking about old Hollywood. Look, and think about the, again, you know, I will say this about the archives. Think about the spectrum of different subject matter, from UFOs to government cover-ups to the war pigs to old Hollywood.
Right.
You know.
Oh, and great music, to classical music, Marillion's, popular music, you know, whatever. It's all.
And you know, and you know, you'll have a sub. You'll be talking to a guest about, say, Mario Lanza, but then in the same program, 2 hours later, you might be talking to someone about, hey, well, you know, what was going on at the time in Afghanistan or Iraq. You see the
three guests tonight, three different topics usually, or the same topic from three different perspectives. Yeah, it's really fun, and my mind is—I'll tell you—it's full of material. I've been exposed to a lot. I've learned a lot. What a privilege! There's not much I haven't heard about. I'm not saying I'm an authority on it, but I've heard most all of it.
And one great thing too about the archives, Jeff, is that nobody can remember what this is. We're going on 31 years. Of subject matter, right? There's no way you could possibly recall all the information. No. I don't care who you are, you know, in your memory. That is a great place to refresh your memory. Like I said a few minutes ago, you go in there and say, you know, I didn't remember that. I didn't remember
when you open
that
door to whatever the subject is, right? If you get that program, you're going to remember a lot of things that are not readily available. They're in your mind. But they will trigger, these programs will trigger memories, knowledge, and ultimately that should distill into wisdom. That's what it's all about. Facts distill into wisdom. And the facts in those programs will trigger a lot of people to remember things that, geez, I haven't forgotten about. I haven't thought about that, or I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. So correct, that's another good observation.
The one thing I've done, Jeff, with the archives is I go back years back, and you listen to some of these programs and some of the things they say in these programs, it could be from the 1990s, early 2000s, and you'll say, you know, there's still, wait a minute, that sounds very familiar, what's happening right now. And also you could see in the archives, you'll notice patterns that, and you can start kind of predicting what they're going to do next. You could also use it as a very valuable tool. If you're saying, you know, what are they, right, the power structure on this planet, what's going to be the thing, you know, you can kind of forecast what their next move is going to be. Go back in the archives and say, you know, there's a pattern here. They did this in the 1990s, or, you know, then they did it in the early 2000s, but in a different, a little bit of different way, and with a little bit more increased hostility to it. And you'll see more and more, and you'll say, you know, that I think I know what they're going to do next. And you get, it could be pretty accurate, you know, what they are going to do, because they didn't go away. They just got stronger. You know, they got stronger, and the world's population got more weak-minded, I would say.
Well, they were taken down mentally by the lack of education, by constant programming, Pavlovian repeating of the same phrase. People, they just don't have it anymore. It's not their fault. I don't blame them. But they do not have the ability to think and reason like they did 40, 50 years ago. It's just not there. They react now. It used to be proactive life, as I've said so many times. People don't do that anymore. They can't, because they're looking at something and they're reacting to it as an addict, constant, and it doesn't stop.
And unfortunately, Jeff, like all humans, we age and we die, you know, as we get older and we pass away. So we take with us when that happens in the older generations.
All that knowledge that
is what America used to be.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get, but the archives are out there where they, you know, say a Gen Zer in your audience right now who did not live as a adult through the 1990s or the 2000s, right? And if they want, if you're a Gen Zer in your audience right now, say an 18, 17-year-old, you want to, not only do you can listen to the program. What's so great about audio, Jeff, too, and radio-type audio, say I'm an 18-year-old kid I didn't live the experience of, say, through 9/11, through Waco, through, you know, OKC, through the B.S. Clinton years and the George Bush years and all these, you know, and even in the Obama years, as a matter of fact. And so you, not only if I was someone young and I'm listening to that, not only do you get, you learn something, but you feel like you're living through that yourself even. It's because coming through with audio, you got to use your imagination, right? You hear the audio, it's like a time travel.
And it is time travel, and that's exactly why I don't do video radio. I don't want people staring at guests or staring at me, whatever. I want them thinking.
No.
And so if they've got a quiet room and the audio is on, the program's on, they can think. They'll actually think. That's wonderful. That's a great gift to be able to help people think. They don't think anymore. They just stare and they react. They drool or whatever. It's true.
Which is why
these are special.
It's true. I'll go on YouTube and I'll listen to old radio programs. And I like doing that. I've done that ever since I was a kid. And that right there, if you want, you know, some people don't like to read. It's not like they're illiterate. They just don't like to read for some reason. Books just, you know, their minds are different. Some people love to sit there by a book. Some people can't read two pages without their brain making them be distracted for some reason.
That's right.
But audio, on the other hand, radio audio, I would say, an old radio program, look, there's so many great old radio programs out there. I couldn't name all of them.
I grew up listening to Jack Benny and talk about a wonderful radio family. That's why I have regulars, recurring regulars. That's what Jack had, a radio family of regulars. Once a week, they'd all be on. Most of them would appear each time, and people got to know the individuals and how they think and how they reacted, and it was a wonderful format. Jack Benny, great man.
And you were giving information out. You know, look, as a kid growing up, I was a very big fan of talk radio. So, I mean, which is why I've done what I've done over the years. I have a very critical mind. You have a very, and I know you might not want to be compared to him, but you're very, in certain traits, your program, the way you come across audio-wise, your approach is like a lot like Larry King used to be in his earlier years when he was with Mutual Radio. King you
really
see on CNN was not Larry King, the radio guy from Mutual Radio.
No, he was a very interesting radio personality in the beginning. I agree. I agree with you.
And he used to have a lot of different various guests that from all different subjects. You know, obviously it was mainstream media at the time, but back then mainstream media wasn't propagandized, but at least it wasn't in your face. You still got a little bit of sense you were getting some truthful information years back. Now, of course, you're not. You know, mainstream media is Sesame Street for adults. That's what mainstream media is. I mean, I've told people to their face before where they say, well, where do you get your information from? Well, I watch MSNBC, Fox. I get all the perspectives. I laugh when I hear this all the time, Jeff. Do you ever hear people say this before? I get all their perspectives. I read the New York Times. I'll watch Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN. And if I want to read another publication, I'll go on a right-wing, you know, Newsmax or one of your, I guess what would you call it, mainstream media, right-wing, mainstream media.
You know
media.
How sad it is and when somebody says, I read the New York Times or the Washington Post? I just feel so sorry for them. What can you say? There's really not much you can say.
But you get that there's a bunch out there that say, well, I get all perspectives. I go on Fox News and this one and that one, and you laugh. It's like you're getting you know, control A and control B. You're getting A and B, but you're getting the same information from the same disseminator, right? I mean, you're not getting a perspective to anything different than what they want you to get. You know, and what's scary is that people don't understand what's happening to them. They don't understand that if you're not getting a different perspective because you watch Fox News and watch, you know, MSNBC at the same time. What you're getting is what they want you to know, and you're getting the controlled opposition media, and it's all brainwashing, all mind control, and all programming, right? And these people honestly believe that they have a wealth of knowledge because they listen, they go on Fox News website, and then they go on MSNBC website, right, or they read The Atlantic.
At images. Now here, let me do this. I just you got me thinking, and Stan Freberg made a commercial about why people should advertise on radio. This is from the late 50s, I believe, but this is 60 seconds. Now listen to how Stan Freberg, the genius that he was, handled the question. Why should I advertise on radio? This is fun. Here, take a listen.
There's nothing to look at.
Okay. Hold on. Here we go.
Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Doesn't television stretch the imagination?
I think you all have answers to that. Anyway, that's kind of a fun thing. Little blast from the past.
That's true. That's a very... Yeah. Good.
The mind is amazing when it's used. You can do all kinds
exactly.
of things.
Exactly. And so, which is why I say, Jeff, if you're a younger generation listening to this program, if you want to get a feel for what, you know, older people have lived through, listen to your archives, listen to some of the guests on there talking about a certain current event going on during that time period. You do relive a lot of. This happens to me all the time. Where I listen to the archives, it's like you're not only you listening, right, but there's a lot of recall, and you're living it again. It feels like I'm living it again, but you have a much better perspective. You know you have the gift of hindsight while you're listening to this, and you can apply the knowledge you're learning. In a program and say, you know, look, that's what's going on today, and that's going to be, it looks like things are repeating again.
Right,
for
younger people who don't have that recall where nothing is really being triggered, they're actually living that which they never experienced, and that makes them a better person.
And that's what radio audio does. Like I said, same way as some people who like to read books, they get that same.
Yeah.
You get that same thing with a book. You can. Reading a book versus listening to audio. Yes. You're not working your eyes. And when you're reading books, you work in your audio, your visual, right?
Right.
You're using your imagination through reading. With audio, you're not using your eyes, but you are using your ears. So you're using audio, auditory, to use your imagination. To me, in my opinion, I don't think there's any difference between reading a book or listening to something through audio. Now, I'm not talking about television where you're getting the screen in your eyes.
No, audio books, that kind of thing.
Audio,
of course.
Exactly.
No, use your mind. Allow your mind to grow like a flower. When you stare at images, there's nothing happening. You're just reacting to what you see. It's very dangerous. If you want to be a real thinker, that isn't going to help. Anyway, Gary, thank you for that. It was very nicely said, and I appreciate it. And I'm here. There's a reason, and I'm doing the best I can, and all of you are doing pretty much the same. We do our best. Staying informed is, I think, a privilege and a right that we just can never give up. So you've got to fight censorship. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
Yep. And like right. I said, last thing, Jeff, real fast. Anyone who hasn't ordered and went to order a subscription to the archives, I encourage them to do it going into the weekend. When you have some downtime, start diving into the information, and you're going to be glad you did. And everyone have a great weekend, and thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary. All right, you take care. Be well. Wow, what a nice thing. I don't spend any time really promoting that, and he just did it beautifully. It's all true. You can step back in time and walk right into all the sensations, the feelings, the undercurrents, the news events, all of it. It's all there through the observations of some very extraordinary people. So, fun stuff. Okay, that's it for Friday. That means weekend, and do prepare. You still got time. Talk soon. Thank you very much for being out there, as always. Take care.